Hi, I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And I'm June Diane Raphael.
And this is
The Deep Dive.
We're about to do what women have done for centuries. We're crowding around the fire with our generous haunches. We got babies hanging off our tits, and we're going to share with you our fears.
That's right. Our joys.
Our tips on how to stay alive.
Now, Jess, we are heeding a call that no one has made.
Not a soul, but you're invited to listen.
Absolutely, because we make one promise and one promise only. We will not Google a thing.
Because frankly, we're too damn tired.
Please get ready to go on
The Deep Dive.
Hey, Jessica.
Top of the morning to you. Wait a second, that's Ireland. That's Ireland. I'm in London.
But it is still, I feel like there's beef there, of course, but I think both phrases work. I think that phrase works in both places. Top of the morning to you, Erin Gobrah.
It's cheerio is what they would say. Or actually what they say here near constantly is, you all right?
Oh,
and
wow.
For the first like couple weeks, I was like, do I not look like I'm all right? But that's how they say, how are you? You're right. But with a sense of concern.
Right. And are you all right?
I don't know.
Jessica, this is the first time I'm speaking to you since you've landed in jolly old England.
Yeah.
How are you? How is it?
It's a wild ride, okay? It's wild. So many emotions. Jet lag, if you want to get dysregulated, you know, jump 8 hours into the future or the past. I don't know where I am or where you begin or where I end. I think you're in the morning, I'm at the night. But yeah, I mean, there's been wild swings of like, I fucking love this city, and feeling like I'm Gwyneth Paltrow, like, fresh when she like fell in love with Chris Martin and was like, you know, just going to morning drop off and then, you know, creating grain bowls, you know, in the afternoon. And then there's like 2 a.m. tears. Like, what am I doing? I want to go back home. Why is it so dark here? And it's raining all the time. But then I get into like a discussion with the fishmonger. And I'm like, yes, I feel like Belle from Beauty and the Beast. Yes. It's just like a wild ride.
There goes the baker with the tray light. Yeah. Well, I think this is to be expected. And I will say something. Yeah. Like, I really struggle with the rain. And
winter is coming here, June. Yeah,
winter is coming. And I know we're in a drought in California. I know we need the rain. And I actually experience it a lot better here. But I have realized something about myself. I'm very sensitive to light. And when I was in New York, Jess, when we were in New York, the weather the seasonal depression that would set in.
I know.
The way I just couldn't, I felt like I couldn't combat the energy outside.
The elements.
Yes,
but
the elements.
But my mother would say, like, what are you, fucking Mediterranean? You grew up in New Jersey. Your people are from Scranton. Do you know, it's not like we were, I mean, I remember, you know, my Jewish friends would all have their grandparents down in Florida, and they would like skip down to Christmas in Florida, and I would hang on every detail. Jen Nepo, what was it like there in those white sand beaches?
Yeah.
Because if anything, we went north where it was even colder and darker. I'm not stable enough to handle an outside element of darkness.
You know what?
Am I just,
that's why
permeable.
I don't want the outsides to match the insides. You know what I mean?
Don't.
Like, I want to look
up,
at something
up,
better.
Up, up, up.
You know, I want to see sunlight on my face. I want to feel it. I want to feel the warmth. And I do think, I'm curious about this because I've always thought to myself, oh, maybe if I get to a certain station in life, like a position financially and career-wise,
like,
you know, that I could handle a winter and a rainy season. But I don't, and I love the Pacific Northwest. And for me, that's like my sort of dream,
sure,
you know, place
vampires
to be.
And yeah, vampire sex
the trees and everything. But I also, it's like, know thyself. Like, I do know, and I think we take it for granted living in Southern California. I do know that that sun in my brain, whatever's happening, like I mentally, I do need it.
I know. And it means to me that with our Irish, if we were living back in the 1800s in Ireland, we would have already passed by now of depression. We would have drunk ourselves to death. And that's
the
truth.
I do think, though, the truth is also with children. I really much respect to all of the parents who like go through winters with their kids not being able to go outside. Like, I just, and I remember walking through New York City and feeling that first drop of rain, like directly, like a giant drop on my forehead. And it's just feeling so crushing.
Like I'm going to melt like the fucking Wicked Witch of the West.
Yeah.
I'm going
to
melt.
And never having the things. That's disturbing to think about too. Like I lived in New York for so long. I don't think I ever had a pair of rain boots.
Well,
I don't think I had an umbrella.
Came to London without any of my underwear.
Whoa. What happened? It just went away somewhere.
There's a pile somewhere in my house of underwear, like a little rat's nest of underwear. And I just didn't bring it. And BB called me out on it. And she was like, have you been wearing that same thong for 3 days? And I was like, I don't know at this point. Is this a day? If
see, underwear for me is actually the first thing that gets packed.
As it should be. Anyway, I'm rolling commando. I'm, you know, realizing that last time we were here, it was a spring and summer. And it was spring break. And right. I got here and it's been very dark and rainy and cold. It's cold. People keep saying, you know, four seasons in a day. And I say, like, I don't know what. Or they say, wait until the end of September where it gets, I guess it gets light at 10 a.m. and then dark at 3. That really seems untenable.
Okay. Because I know we've talked about this before, like my 4 p.m., like the day's done, like blinds are drawn at 4. But when it's wintertime, when even in LA, when it's dark by 5, like I gotta shut it down. I got nothing left to give when that light goes
out. You would
out.
Rather be asleep than face the fact that it's dark outside.
Yes.
And I agree with you. So I'm concerned as to what's to come. But, you know, today was sunny and, you know, I feel like I am in a season of radical acceptance because and also my rejection of it, because I got here and I was trying to pretend like it was before the pandemic and I was dragging BB around the crowded streets. Now, in London, ain't nobody wearing masks inside or outside.
Saying?
And there
what?
Is not a child There's that a I have seen mandate? In a mask. No. And they are the Delta. I mean, it's not registering to the locals. And I do. I chat with the butcher and the baker and the candlestick maker. And
sure.
All of them think I'm a psycho for having my mask on inside. And one crazy woman yelled at me for having a mask on BB on the street.
Like this.
So this is a little strange. Now, again, obviously, I'm not speaking for all British people, but I can't move about the way I want to. And I wanted to ask you about willful behavior.
Okay.
Meaning everyone in your life is telling you this is not possible. Society is telling you this is not possible. And yet you continue to go on VRBO. And then you get all these options. And then you go, Dan, here are my options. And he said, are you kidding me? We cannot travel to another country during a global pandemic. And then instead of getting mad at the pandemic, you're mad at the person in front of you, and you think that they have come to steal your joy.
Well, yeah.
Do that's, you get that way?
I understand that, and I can relate to that. I mean, I do think we're in a time where people are also grieving what we thought this time would be. You know, and it's really hard.
Because Delta done taking it.
Yes.
stolen
now,
it.
I'm also going to like, yes, it did. But I'm also going to say this because I am feeling, for whatever reason this week, tapping into some intuition about remaining positive and hopeful about the future in the face of so many horrible things. And actually, what I've been thinking about this week is like, with the positions of privilege I'm in and the amount that I have in my life, like, how dare I give
100%.
up? How dare I, you know,
and even as waste someone it, who, waste your day. Yeah, fuck
of
that.
Course, but also just as someone who is in a position to survive so much of what's terrible about the world and to use so much of the world's resources, like, I just don't have any patience or time for people in that position who are like, so doomsday. It's like, that's really not fair. And so here's how I feel about what I'll say about the pandemic and Delta. Like, I'm so disappointed and disturbed, but I also feel like, you know, we have vaccines that can get us out of this. And FDA just approved Pfizer yesterday. And we must just keep on convincing people to take the vaccine. And
that's right.
I'm also like, yes, it's really bad. And our kids are back in school, honestly, in a more dangerous position than they were at this time last year. Let's just say it.
Yeah, that's really hard. That's a hard pill to swallow.
That it is. And I don't deny that. It really, really is. But I also am like very grateful to live in a city that has mask mandates for kids in school and vaccine mandates for teachers and staff at LAUSD. And I'm just like, I cannot imagine. I truly can't imagine the people who are across the country and you having her in London, like, who don't have that community buy-in of just mask mandates. You know, when we first started this podcast, we were like dealing with, like, I wanted to go into my hut, you know, my fuck hut. But
that
now
time has passed.
That time
the
has
fuck
passed.
Hut is passed.
Right.
If you didn't fuck in that hut, you ain't never fucking in that hut because it's closed for business. It's closed. Delta
I
has closed.
Find that hut. You know? The variants have taken that hut down. Like,
they have like put like a D rating on that. Yeah. Exactly. And you are closed for business. You ain't never
coming
back.
There's like caution tape around that hut. Yeah. Like, it's an abandoned hut.
Like so many stone cottages in Ireland, just abandoned. You know, there was civilization there, but it isn't there anymore.
And
anyway,
now it's scary.
The fuck hut is done. So stop thinking about that hut, because that thinking about it and wanting it to be different than it is will cause distress.
Yes. Agreed.
Agreed.
Yes. And I think it's hard. And also, I do think like we just have to acknowledge like the grief of what we thought this was going to be. But and it's been a long time. This is hard. It is.
Yeah. You know, I have taken a page out of Danielle Schneider's book and started to read any fiction I can get my hands on that takes place in the Blitz. which surprisingly, like every other book written for women, is about the Blitz. Two girls kind of picking up, you know, the pieces. Somebody's fiance has died in an air raid, and the other one is got a great job at a ladies' magazine. And so, but it's been interesting to think about the time we are in as a wartime experience, you know, in that. And I think what we've lacked is that central, like, let's pull it all together, let's all be one, you know, and we haven't had a leader until now. Who can help us. And, but I do think the way that Londoners had to walk around and kind of live with, oh, there's the rubble of a house, like, but we're still living our lives and we're still going to fall in love and have babies. And, you know, I think that's what we do have to do. You got to get a stiff upper lip about this shit, because otherwise we're going to waste our precious, precious time.
No more waiting,
but we're not going to be able to have the fun we were wanting to have. So what fun I do believe life will surprise us. Just like in New Hampshire, where it rained the entire time, and then I found these glorious moms. What lies ahead?
Yeah, and I really do feel like you're chasing the rain. You know what I mean? Which is interesting.
It's coming after you.
Like, I mean, that's
only so much self-tanner I can put on.
I know, that's hard. And you're in, like, London is like a gray, heavy rain. You know, it's hard.
It is.
It's hard.
It is.
And again, it is where we come from. Like, I understand that weather in my bones. And so I don't know if this is like a rejection of self, but I can't. The feeling of being like damp.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like damp.
Well, what happens here is it starts to rain and you just have to, you don't even get your jacket out sometimes. It has to be like really rain. You just stand there and keep talking to whoever you're talking to. And you pretend as if it's not happening. And then if it gets too bad, but you never go inside.
That's a hard thing also for women too. It's like, I've done my hair, I've done my makeup, and I'm going to go get rained on? This is bullshit.
I just wanted to report that Emma the journey. I thought she was going to shit all over the plane. I think I texted you minutes before I got on it. And I was like, yes. Oh my God, like, do I get drunk? And like, then I'm not present for it. But anyway, she made it. And I found the most lovely vet over here. And they do things very different. And he has an hour long chat with me every time I bring her in. And it's been really, now when I cry, he does avert his eyes because I think it would be embarrassing for them to make direct eye contact with me. I want him to look at me. So I then try to catch his eye so he can know how sad I am. But he's trying to give me space. Dr. Grant Petrie. But she's doing great over here. And so again, what other lesson is there that we have today? Great. You know, and that's what he says. He says, we're going to take it week by week, you know, great. And then we'll just assess and make sure she's a happy girl. So
wonderful.
As for now, it's going great. And I wanted to thank all the deep divers for reaching out to me, sending me pictures of their little dogs, cheering Emma on and sharing with me stories of how they, you know, had to put their dogs to sleep in it. And it was great, you know, afterwards. And it actually was not a terrible experience. And again, the community, come on. I mean, there's just no community better than the deep divers. That's the truth.
I agree. I'm so glad to hear it. I'm so glad you did that. Like, these dogs just want to be with us. End of the day.
Well, I keep remembering what you said. They look to you to tell them, who am I? Am I okay? And so we keep it easy breezy cover girl over here.
Yes, we do.
I give her 4 billion treats a day, you know, because, yeah, why not?
I mean, I was just going to tell you that I got my first mammogram last week. I did. It was clear. Just found out this morning.
Great.
I have to say, I was surprised that the results came via snail mail. You know, I don't.
What?
Like,
wait,
yeah.
What? From
is
via
that normal?
Parcel post?
Yes.
Well, you would have gotten a call if there was a problem.
Okay.
Would I like to be? Right. I like you to be followed by a specialist, as I've said. If you can find a specialist group, that's probably better to be. I don't like people being followed by the gigantic hospital system necessarily.
What do you mean followed?
I mean, where did you get your mammogram? I mean, what kind of doctor did you get it at the hospital?
My OBGYN sent me out to get it.
Okay, so. My doctor, Dr. Memzik, great. So my doctor, Dr. Memzik, left Cedars. She created her own breast center, the Bedford Breast Center. All she does all day long is looks at boobs, and if there's a problem, fixes it. And so there are these doctors that's what they devote their lives to, and they have access to, you know, so she has a mammogram machine there. She's in network. She has an ultrasound. If there's anything, she can get you right over to the hospital. Mammograms and breast health, it's really it's a thing of speed. You need to be able to get your results back because in the case of me, you know, 4 weeks could have meant life or death.
Right. Wow.
So yeah, if you can do that, there, a lot of the hospitals have breast centers. And so you can find a doctor. Right. They can be a surgical oncologist that just, you know, it does your mammogram for you. Why not? Why aren't we specializing?
Interesting. Right? So your OBGYN could refer you to that place, or you could just
That's
go to
that
place?
That's what she did. Yes. You don't have to be referred, but yeah, you
could be referred. Gotcha.
Yeah. And for those people who aren't in Los Angeles, Google the Bedford Breast Center, see what it looks like. And then I bet you can find something analogous in your city or town.
It was just interesting because I realized that because of the pandemic, I mean, the implications and impacts of it are so far reaching. I hadn't gone to the OBGYN last year.
And that's what happened when I found my lump. I had not been for a year. Yeah. A year and a half because I was breastfeeding and I was like, oh, I don't need my pill renewed. Yeah, we got to have those things in the cal.
Absolutely. So I was a year late to getting that mammogram, my first mammogram. I was a full year late.
Very lucky.
And so it's been good. And I've been, you know, I feel like I'm in a time of kind of tying up those kinds of loose ends. Now, I have made on my to-do list, I've made a statement to myself, which was that I will delete my voicemails.
Oh, I'm not going to do that. I have so many. You know what I'm psyched
Jessica,
about? When I get a British phone,
so
I won't even be
many.
Able to see them. I won't even be able to see them. Some of them are like 1-833. I'm like, who's that? That's a government agency. I don't know who that is.
I'm just going to show you right now. Like, this
okay,
is what it looks like. Can you see this?
Yeah, well, you think that's fucking scary.
Like, what is that?
Here are mine. Honey, you got to scroll, honey. You got to scroll.
Oh, you
got to
scroll over here too, baby.
You got to scroll, baby.
Sweetie,
look at this.
Sweetie.
Oh, sweetie. I got back to 8221.
Okay, I'm at 51221.
Okay,
512.
You beat
but
me.
But wait, that's just okay, so I think there's other messages before 512 actually that I don't even cuz that's it seems like I should have Oh,
I'm surprised you have the bandwidth for that.
Do you have a whole section called deleted messages?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
so I don't even
there.
Know what these messages are.
You got to get rid of those too. You got to delete
You do?
Yeah, because
these are taking me back, Jess, to 2016.
Wow. What are you holding on to? We shouldn't be proud of this, by the way.
No, I'm not. That's what I'm saying. I have actually set an intention today. This was a part of me, like, going to doctors and doing some life admin, taking care of some business.
Yes.
Where I'm like, I need to just, like, get myself together a little bit more and, you know, delete some voicemails. The number of people who love to tell me my voicemail is full, it's like, I know.
Why?
You know?
It's as if, listen, if I was lying dead on the floor, like, your cue is not going to be my voicemail is full. Like, that's like, I get like, Jess, like, are you okay? Your voicemail is full. Right, listen. You'll get a call from the NYPD saying that they have found my dead, lifeless body on the floor. You're not going to get it through. You're not going to figure it out, Sherlock Holmes, from like,
I
back,
know.
My voicemail's full. That's not news.
And I really appreciate that. I don't like people registering so much alarm about it. It's like, trust that I'm okay out here. You know what I mean? That I text works. My text messages work. I don't appreciate it. Because people really put a lot of judgment on you when your voicemail box is full. And I know it says something that I don't necessarily want to say, but actually does it. Because a part of me is like, yeah, I'm unreachable via voicemail.
I am. Again, we've gone over this.
I know
before.
We've gone over this.
I had that
I'm
message.
Sorry.
You get more derision when you say on your voicemail, please don't leave me a voicemail. I don't check them. People then are like, I got such a kick out of your message. Did you? I'm trying to give you valuable information about how to love me, how to reach me.
And how to communicate, how to get to me.
How to get to me. Well, I usually get a British phone number over here. But
I know. I mean, I texted myself. You. I was like, are we on WhatsApp? Like, where do I find you? But it seems you're
sadly,
available via
I'm
text.
Still on my... Yeah, and I wish I wasn't. Because what happens when I get a British phone is I've never figured out how to check my voicemail. So if you don't know... If you don't know my British phone number, then you're not getting to me.
Okay.
And if that means that we fall out, okay.
We fall out.
Okay.
I appreciate this. I mean, I am trying. I told you I've received a lot of feedback this summer about my communication skills and my lack of responsiveness. Has it gotten worse? No, I actually think it's gotten a little bit better.
Why are people getting up your tree about it more now? Is it because they're coming out of the dark and they want to get back into contact, contact?
And I have, I'm actually telling people now, like, you don't expect a response. The best way to get to me is via email.
Via email, not via text. Email. See, I can get you quick, but that's only because we got business to do.
Yes. And there are times even then, Jess, where I'm like, oh my God, did I write her back? Email is better because I set aside time during the day to go through those.
Yeah.
You know?
Set aside time, you calendar it. Yeah.
I calendar it. And so I feel like I can kind of get through. So here's my two things that I want to accomplish this week. I want to go through my voicemails.
Okay.
And I want to get to a zero inbox.
Now, if I told you how many emails I have, it's in the hundreds of thousands. I don't mark them as read.
Don't mark them as read?
No.
Are you on a Gmail situation where they're threaded?
Yeah. And I don't got to dig back through those threads.
How do you even look?
And then Gmail will tell me that I'm over my limit and that they're going to shut me down. That's what's going to happen. And my former assistant, Amy, who, by the way, everyone has to follow her. I think her Instagram is AmyJean_1930. AmyJean_1930. But check her out because it's super funny. But she used to, for her lullaby, was deleting my emails. That's because it hurt her that there were this many that I was going to get shut down by Gmail. Who's Gmail to tell me how much fucking email I could have?
Well, okay. I mean, I guess it's being stored somewhere
in the middle of America.
I was like, yeah. Like when Gmail goes down, like we should all know it's because of you.
Yeah.
If there's ever a service interruption. Okay.
You see, I get right back to you over text. Right back.
You do. You do. You're more of a texter. But doesn't that, like, I'm just trying to understand your process here. Like, the day begins, you look at your emails, and you just look at them and respond. You're always working off the top of the inbox. You're never going backwards.
That's right.
So basically, if an email came in, like, a few weeks ago and you didn't respond to it, like, it's gone?
It's gone. It's as if it doesn't exist, and yet it does exist. And I can search... and sometimes I feel like I'm Julia Roberts in the Pelican Brief. I'm just like, I can search a word. Like, I'll know, okay, fuck, I got to figure out what was that linen that I ordered in 2013? And I'll just like search love seat and it'll come up from 2013 because I haven't deleted it.
Wow.
So it's actually kind of genius.
I thought with Gmail, even if you deleted it, if you searched it, it would come up.
I don't know. But to me, I'm like, don't delete. Then you never, there's always a paper trail.
Wow, you know? Jess. This is actually causing me a little bit of anxiety.
Yeah. Do you know what I did once at CNN? I worked as a production assistant, and I hate the news. I hate reading. I hate the news. But my parents really wanted me to be a news anchor, and it was as close to entertainment as I could get. So I did, and I was an assistant to an anchor woman, and then I was my own little PA, and I was terrible at my job. And one time, I had to book an interview with George Bush Jr. during his campaign, and okay, and I booked a camera crew. Okay. And then I forgot that I did that. And I booked another one. And they both showed up at the same time. Now, that is how you could bomb somebody. That's how bombs have gotten into places like that, where you say, hi, I'm here to film an interview. And then you're really like a bomb. Okay. So I got a little call from my boss and he said, get the fuck in here. And he turned on CNN and Bush's campaign headquarters were shut down from a bomb scare.
Just.
This is like a reverse Forrest Gump, because you would have thought if things had gone the right way, this would have hurt his campaign. If anything, it probably engendered more sympathy
for him
and he ended up getting into power.
We have a lot to blame on you,
yeah.
Unfortunately.
A lot.
You know, the Iraq war, the current situation in Afghanistan, like it all sort of leads back.
So imagine that, okay? That kind of sinking feeling. And I ran back to my desk and I called my friend at the time who was a private investigator. And she said, is there a paper trail leading back to you? And I immediately realized, yes, of course, because I hadn't deleted anything. There were two emails saying, please come at this time. And you would have thought I'd be let go, but I wasn't. And do you know why? And this is a tip for all you Gen Xers, Zers, Wires.
Zers.
What are they? You're entering the workforce. The reason I was not let go was because I was a lot of fun at an office birthday party. People liked the cut of my jib. They liked my energy. They liked my joie de vivre. They liked my little joke here or there during a staff meeting. Okay. I used to make little birthday videos for people. Okay. Little like gag reels. Be fun. If you don't have
fun. Yeah,
okay, I kept
fun.
That job a long time. And then they closed down the show that I was working on. They canceled it. And I kept coming into the office. I kept using my badge. Now, that's a breach of security.
Sure is. Second breach of security. Yeah.
Yeah. And then my boss found me amongst all of these moving boxes using the company computer. And you know what she said? I'm going to try to help you get an agent. And she did.
Wow.
Why? Because I was fun.
Because you were fun.
Keep it fun.
Be fun.
Be fun, especially if you don't have the skills to back it up. Be fun.
Well,
people
definitely.
Like to have fun. Yeah. And definitely. The other thing somebody told me, don't ever talk too loud on the phone. People hate loud talkers. Don't talk loud on that phone. If you're going to make personal calls, which I certainly spent most of my day doing, make them softly. Okay. Be the first person to say, hey, I'm going down to get some froyo. Does anyone want any? Toppings are on me. Be the toppings are on me, girl.
Right. So people are going to Venmo you for like the actual cup of yogurt, but like you'll cover the toppings.
Buy the yogurt.
Happily.
Especially, again, if the worse you are at your job,
in your future.
The more yogurt you should be buying people. Again, this is pre-pandemic.
No,
God knows everybody's working at home.
Honestly, great advice. But we don't all, Jessica, have your, sunny disposition and your charm. And, some of us, actually have to do the assignments, unfortunately.
Some of us can do them. I couldn't. I had to develop. It's just like when, your sense of smell goes out, your eyesight gets better. That was it. I didn't have the skills,
right, another,
so I had to.
I understand that. I mean, I am curious, how the British people are receiving you.
How do you think?
And your joie de vivre. Well, I actually was thinking it might be, you might be just what they need, and you might be just what the doctor ordered there. And so I can see the Brits receiving you with curiosity,
Yes.
Curiosity.
But curiosity killed the cat, sometimes.
But I do also, I'm wondering if you're, because one unfortunate thing about myself is I do think I can kind of shapeshift around people, sort of mold into the energy of the room.
Yeah, chameleons. That's what I try to do. Disarm, disarm.
Yes, and there's a part of me that's I know that my energy changes from person to person. And a lot of times I feel the need to match people's energy, no matter where they are, like good or low, I'll be there. You know, if we're happy, I'll be there.
I feel like if we had a stronger sense of self, we would just be us all the time. But that's absolutely not what we have. But yeah, no. And that is why sometimes I have a migraine just being in these rehearsals, because my instinct is to be too loud and say too much. And people are more considered here, you know.
Sure. I mean, yes,
they are. Because the only thing I'm thinking, they're talking about what's happening on the spaceship. And the only thing I'm thinking is, couldn't my character fuck one of these guys, like, and see what happens on this show? Like, what if these two had sex? What if these two had sex? What would happen?
Listen, we may need to reconstruct that fuck cut, because I don't want you recreating it. You know, I don't mean me.
I'm just like, okay, yeah. What would you do if you're trapped in space? What's the first thing you would do? I'd be like, scan the room. I want to fuck this person, this person, this person, and then this person, and then all four of them together at once.
Yes. I mean, I think that's true of most rooms anyone walks into. It's like, are we all always scanning it to see who we would fuck first? Like,
who is it that said when they get on an elevator, they immediately say, who would I fuck on this elevator if this is my last minute on Earth? Like, if they're like, if you get like, like an emergency broadcast goes over the airwave, who would
we must know?
We're like, who? And what would that be like?
And you know? What would that be like? Sure. Sure.
You know what I used to
I'm
do?
I'm glad to hear you
church?
Say that, because I do think that most of us function that way.
Yeah. At church, I used to, you know, I get so bored, and I used to watch people come back from communion, and I would just say, not her, her. Yes, her, her. Not fucking them. It would be whose body would I want to take over? Who would I want to live my life
as? Of course. Of course.
Now that a lot of people can say that's a lack of boundaries. That's a lack of sense of self. That's like you're too permeable. Right. No, again, back to the weather. You know, all of these things would not affect us so much if we weren't like fucking shape-shifting out of ourselves. The sad part is I'm trying to be appropriate, but I think it's just like I'm a little out of step. I'm a little out of step here.
I totally understand that. Yes, I totally understand that. And I do think that, I don't think it's all bad. Like, I do think there's a part of me that wishes I was more centered in the world. But I also think that a part of matching people's energies and trying to sort of like feel into the energy of a room is I want people to feel good. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, I want, one of the worst feelings to me is when you're at a party and you notice that people are sort of circling up. And I notice men do this a lot, actually.
Oh.
Someone doesn't know to open their bodies up to include someone else. God. You know what I mean? I find that to be,
yes,
like, because they don't see that that's the appropriate thing to do, is to open up a space so that someone else can get in. And their bodies, and, like, don't know to do it.
That's right. And to turn and say, oh, here's a connection.
Yes.
Marianne. You know, you both, you know, drive a you know, VW, you know, talk about that. I'll just pull out, you know, whatever detail.
Whatever.
But people,
but not everybody has that.
But I think if you felt other, because I did, I definitely had the experience of feeling like I don't fit in, you know, and had to work hard to try and fit in. I think that's the only reason I feel hyper aware of when there is somebody who's feeling that, and I want to bring them into the circle. I think if you've always belonged, it probably doesn't occur to you to, you know, to welcome that person in.
Listen, I remember, and I, by the way, deep divers, I'm sorry if I've told this story before, and you're going to hear a lot of observations and storytelling that you've probably already heard, like episodes.
Yeah.
In previous episodes. And like this entire
mind.
Podcast
maybe,
yeah, the, you know, us documenting a descent into madness. But right. I remember being on the set of Year One, and it was like the first, one of the first big movies that I was a part of. And I...
Your eyes looked so good in that movie.
Thank you.
That eye Jessica, makeup. Thank that Mesopotamian eye makeup.
But I, you know, felt out of my league and was in between the scenes, talking to people, trying to make connections, trying to make people laugh, you know, I was on. And Oliver Platt came over to me and said, go over to your seat and sit down and get quiet. And I was like, he's like, this save it for the screen. And he was right to see that I actually do have a limited amount of energy. And I've become, as I've gotten older, I think really, it's a part of the reason why I don't text everyone back and why I'm bad at communicating is because, or the doing the communication that most of the world does and in the time that people expect it to happen, because I do feel like I have a limited amount of energy and I have to conserve and be super judicial about where that energy goes. And it was such a good, it was, I was so grateful that he did that because I was giving it all away, you know? And
yeah, because
depleting
you
myself.
Wanted to feel comfortable and make everyone feel like you belonged there. And that, I mean, understandably, wow, what a great, God.
Yeah, sit down and get quiet.
Really work on that.
I mean, I still think that sometimes when I meet people who seem like their bodies are sort of in control, you know,
Lennon.
who seem
they're
like
grounded,
you've never
in the earth.
Seen them go up and down and this way and that way and sideways. And I'm like, wow, what must that be like to just go out to a meal or go experience food without the conversations that I'm having around it, which are like, do I deserve to have this? You know, and by the way, trigger warning for anyone who suffers from eating disorders. I this isn't a light topic, I know, but I think most women to some degree have a conversation around food in their bodies that is just so fraught. And yet you meet some here and there who are just like, oh yeah, I eat when I'm hungry. Next question. And I'm like, like, huh? And don't go through the fluctuations and just, I feel like my body, I know we've talked about hormones before, but like my body fluctuates according to my cycle in a crazy way. And then even from day to day, I'm like, it's such a different experience.
Interesting. Of like, bloated, not bloated.
Correct.
Feeling hungry,
good about what I
hungry,
ate last night.
Feeling good about.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes. Do you not deal with that?
You're very aware of it. Well, you know,
God,
in my whole life, I didn't have to worry about my weight because I just had a very fast metabolism and I used to eat constantly like a shark. I'd have to keep eating meat, you know, just, and then, you know, menopause hit very drastically and you start to put on weight in a crazy fucking way. One bite equals five bites. Okay? Mm-hmm. You can be eating nothing and you're gaining that weight. And so for
upsetting.
the first time, I had a concept of what it must be like for somebody who, and I hate the word struggles with their weight, but somebody who had to think about what they were putting in their body. And like, it really is fucking hard.
It is. It is.
It's hard. And then I also did some shit when I was sick for the first, I never did emotional eating, but then when, and I'm not going to blame Casey for this wonderful gift, but I am.
Chocolates, the Four Season chocolates.
When the gigantic 400 pound bag of dark chocolate coins from the Four Seasons arrived on my doorstep, I started to eat handfuls of them like a feed bag. And that became my nightly comfort. Mommy's little treat. Helper. And I wonder how much people start emotionally eating as mothers, as tired mothers who do not have any other moment of treat for themselves. They're giving of, they're using the whole buffalo. And the moment those kids go to bed, you go right downstairs and you're like, what piece of chocolate can I put in my mouth?
And I also do think that, you know, I think that most women we're disciplining our bodies, we're disciplining our intake of food, and we've been, you know, doing that for a long time because the ideal body weight is not something like we'll ever attain, really, you know, it's really disturbing to me, and I hate living with it. I mean, I deal with it every day, but I'm like, you know, I do think if I weren't an actress and weren't on screen, that I would feel a lot better at my just normal weight. You know what I mean? Like, I think that I would just be, I would be heavier than I am now, but I would be very happy with that. If I were not having to look at it, having to look at it and dissect it, and having other people look at it on a big scale, like that's very, very hard.
And even though nobody gives a shit, to be honest, how you and I look on camera ever. I mean, nobody's losing sleep over it. You know what I'm saying?
I've definitely gotten a lot of comments about my weight fluctuations on Grace and Frankie over the years. I mean, I had two children. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Write you on what? They comment on Instagram?
On just the weight gain and loss over like 7 seasons. Because it has been.
Well, that's very uncomfortable.
Yeah,
that's
but I've definitely experienced that. Yeah. But.
Well, that doesn't feel good.
Oh, it's horrible. People but I do think that if I were not on screen, that I would have a healthier understanding and be more equipped to kind of buck the standards. Unfortunately,
well, I'm more like,
a lot of our work is dependent upon those standards, or we have to conform.
Yeah, or we feel we have to, because I think what's nice is there's been now a movement towards people looking normal. You know,
people who unfortunately more for me, those days are, I can't, I can't catch up with that movement.
That ship has sailed. I think the thing I'm trying to get right with is like the moment Dan got diagnosed, he dropped all alcohol and all sugar and he works out an hour a day because, you know, we went and asked, what can we do to keep him cancer free? Now, honey, I should be listening to that same advice. And so, listen, he doesn't even crave it anymore.
Wow.
He doesn't even crave it. But then he's staring at me, you know, licking on an ice cream cone. And he knows, like, sugar, you know, it's not great. It's not great for our bodies. And it doesn't make us feel great afterwards.
No,
so I'm like, eat all the food you want. Yes. But we do need to understand that what we put in our bodies has a major, major impact on our health. And it doesn't make us feel emotionally good. Because you think I feel good an hour later, I'm like bitching out to everyone. And it's because I had whatever fucking treat I got today. I was just like, I'm tired. And I said some weird things in rehearsal. I'm going to have this gigantic chocolate cookie. And I made it seem like I was bringing it home to my child. And not only did I not bring it home to her, I hid the bag so she wouldn't say,
"What's
did you eat that fucking cookie?" No, I ate it all. I ate it all, each crumb, so that I wouldn't have to share it. I'm like, talk about shame.
Oh my God.
She said, the woman at Gail's Bakery said, "Oh, you're lucky. You've got the last one." And I said, "Oh, my daughter will be so pleased." And then I just went out and ate it like fucking Cookie Monster.
Well, listen, we're doing the best we can. I hope everybody's eating when they're hungry and enjoying their bodies. And I hope all deep divers stay happy and healthy this week. and encourage their friends and family to get vaccinated. Let's move on to better days ahead. And speaking of a wonderful nonprofit that's working toward better days ahead, I just wanted to share a dear friend of mine works with Plan C. And there is currently a very modern method to ending an early pregnancy that doesn't involve going into a clinic or doctor's office. Abortion pills are a combination of medications used to become unpregnant up to 11 weeks from a missed period. And they've been around for 30 years. And thanks to new telehealth services, you can do an online consultation on your phone or computer and get those pills shipped directly to your front door. It's incredible. And these services are affordable and convenient. The method is super safe. And support is just a text or a phone call away. Plan C is a nonprofit information campaign dedicated to spreading the word on this revolutionary health tool and reducing barriers to access. Their guide to pills is a state-by-state directory of services from telehealth to hotlines and FAQs. Plan C is building a near future where this safe, modern method is directly in the hands of the person who needs it. Go to plancpills.org to learn more. And save this information and or pass it along to a friend who might need it. That's plancpills.org. Thanks so much, Deep Divers, and we will see you next week.
Cheerio.
Cheers. The Deep Dive is produced by Jessica St. Clair, June Diane Raphael, and Earwolf. Our producer is Cody Fisher and sound engineer Jordan Duffy. You can listen to our ad-free and bonus episodes on Stitcher Premium. And for a free one-month trial of Stitcher, use code DEEPDIVE. And remember, the best way to support the show is to rate and review.
And a huge thank you to Ann Geddes for her beautiful photo that she allowed us to use for our cover art. Please head over to AnnGeddesBaby.com and download her new app, which is a safe place you can upload and store all of your precious images of your children and share them with friends and family, plus much more.
We'll see you next time.